Tech.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Jennifer Denlinger.
Thanks, Rocky. Hi, Lauren Zaleski. We are so excited to have you here. Lauren is the founder administrator of the Facebook page Attitude of Gratitude with Chronic Pain. Lauren grew up in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and graduated from Hunterdon Central in 1987. She graduated with a BA in speech communications from the University of Rhode Island prior to becoming a publicist in the music industry in New York City. Lauren and her husband settled back in Hunterdon County after marrying in 1993 and had two children in the mid-90s. It was then that she left the workforce and became a stay-at-home mom and full-time volunteer, becoming active in the kids' schools and becoming president of the Bethlehem Township PTA, as well as the founding of a local nonprofit children's theater group. And during this time, Lauren became sick and was eventually diagnosed with lupus and fibromyalgia. While this was debilitating during her flares, which could last anywhere from a few weeks to a few months, the majority of the time she was able to continue on with raising the kids as well as her volunteer responsibilities. But in 2009, Lauren began a four-year flare, which made her unable to continue with her life as she knew it. Mainly confined to her home due to the debilitating physical pain, she retreated from life and relied heavily on her husband to take care of the house and the family. As she isolated more and more, she went into a dark place of not only physical pain, but also an emotional and spiritual bankruptcy that eventually led to a serious alcohol problem. After hitting a rock bottom in 2013 that involved her having a life-altering experience, Lauren was fortunate enough to attend a rehab with a focus on living well with chronic pain. And it was during her month-long stay there where she learned how to live again and where her relationship with gratitude began. Realizing the importance of having a community and how difficult it is to find for so many living with chronic conditions, in 2014 she started the Facebook group Attitude of Gratitude with Chronic Pain, after searching unsuccessfully to find a group that focused on living with gratitude and positive thinking. The group's primary focus is on magnifying the good in our lives by focusing on what does not hurt rather than on giving power to the bad by focusing on those things that do hurt. In 2014, Lauren started the first New Jersey chapter of a 12-based program for those living with chronic pain and illness, and she currently sits on the Board of Trustees as well as acts as a social media coordinator of the organization. In 2016, Lauren began a self-imposed task on Facebook to write one unique thing every day for the entire year that she was grateful for. She named this her gratitude project, and the popularity the entries gained, as well as the profound experience she had after writing and experiencing 366 different entries, led to her starting the website and blog gratitudeaddict.com. And it's from here that her idea to write a book on what gratitude does for those living with chronic pain was born. A self-proclaimed chronic thriver, Lauren's passion is in helping others with chronic physical and or emotional conditions realize that there is life after diagnosis or injury and that suffering is not a requirement. She believes that while we cannot always control our circumstances by thinking about them and responding to them differently, by embracing gratitude, we can live happy and fulfilling lives. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are so excited that you're here. So, my first question to you, what happened 6 years ago today that was a turning point and pivotal event that made gratitude the main tool in how you live with pain?
It definitely was a pivotal event in my life, and I'm thrilled to be here when you guys asked me to be here, and you told me the date. It's the date of the anniversary of my sobriety. So, I'm 6 years sober today.
Bravo!
Which is wonderful.
It is the... the most humbling and profound day of my life. It's like all Christmases and birthdays all rolled into one, because it was this event, which was a DUI that happened, a very bad DUI, where thank God nobody was hurt. I wasn't hurt. But so I woke up in a hospital bed. I don't remember anything from that day. I woke up in a hospital bed, not knowing how I got there. And apparently I had driven in a complete blackout, passed out, and crashed into a parked box truck, which is, I'm very grateful. This is where all my gratitude comes from, because mm-hmm. I woke up in the hospital, like I said, and my mom was standing there. She told me that I had a DUI, and I was arguing with her. I said, I didn't go anywhere, mm-hmm. because I truly don't remember going anywhere. And at that time, like my bio said, I was really confined to my house. However, somehow I would get superhuman strength to go out to the liquor store, so I am assuming that's where I was going. And they told me in the hospital that my blood alcohol was the highest they had ever seen with somebody actually surviving.
Wow.
So I can go back to that feeling from that day, even though it was 6 years ago. I can go back there instantly, and I cry thinking about it and talking about it, but that's good. It keeps it green for me. I can go back to that feeling of despair and misery, and the gratitude I have for not killing anybody or myself. And anything is better than that. Anything is better than that day. And again, that's where my gratitude stems from, that day.
That is so powerful.
What a miracle.
There's really no words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it was a miracle.
Yeah.
But congratulations, Lauren.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What a special way to celebrate.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm a gratitude gangsta.
Look at you. So, Lauren, when did chronic pain and illness come into your life, and how did it change the way you lived?
Well, like my bio said, I got sick in around 2001. My kids were toddlers at the time, and living in Hunterdon County, even though I tested negative, the doctor said, you have Lyme disease, because everybody has Lyme disease in Hunterdon County.
Mm-hmm.
So I was treated with that for a while, and then it just wasn't going away, and I jumped from doctor to doctor. It took about a year to get diagnosed, which was frustrating. But again, like my bio says, the next couple of years after that, I would go through a flare, which would lay me up for a while, but then I would go on and I was able to function, superhuman volunteer, just doing my thing. And then I would be laid up, but it wasn't until that 2009 flare that just wasn't ending, where things really, really changed for me. And that was, I couldn't leave the house, I couldn't leave the house for most things except going to the liquor store. And I isolated. I've always been a very, very social person. I completely isolated, which I know is a very common trait of,
truly a symptom.
Alcoholics, mm-hmm. for sure. I stopped sleeping in the bedroom with my husband. I slept in the guest room downstairs. I did not shower, and people think I'm exaggerating, but I wouldn't shower for a month at a time.
Wow.
Didn't eat. I was skin and bone. So, it's a combination of being in pain, but also what the pain did to me. I wouldn't talk to anybody about it because I thought that nobody understands. And I didn't go to any support groups because I thought, well, I don't want to talk to other people with chronic pain because how depressing. So mm-hmm. where did that leave me? That left me alone and mm-hmm. miserable, and then using alcohol as my medicine to feel better.
And using the word flare for an event that lasts for months or even years, it seems a little unusual to me, because flare, you think of quickly lighting and disappearing, but what you're describing is a situation that just went on and on and on.
Yes, it did. And then when alcohol came into my life, thinking back on it, I don't know how much of that flare continued on because of my alcohol use.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really get horribly bad until the last year of that 4-year flare,
mm-hmm.
but it was always a part. I would say a glass of wine will help, but I never stopped at a glass of wine until it just got you know, worse and worse. Vodka came into the picture, and I never liked vodka. You know, like I said, it was really bad. It helped the pain until it didn't.
Exactly, yeah. So then, after the accident, you spent a month at a rehab that had a program geared towards people who live with chronic pain and illness, which is pretty amazing that you found that rehab.
Yes.
What kinds of things did you learn during your stay there, and what changed in your life as a result?
I learned a lot there. I feel very, very grateful and fortunate that my sister found this rehab for me. Unfortunately, they don't have the chronic pain and recovery program there anymore, which I would like to see more across, you know, the nation, because I think 5 billion people suffer with some kind of a chronic pain situation.
And, you know, I'm just going to interject.
Sure.
Older people, too, we're learning more about older people with substance use disorder, and a lot of it can stem from trying to deal with pain.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and also, if I can just jump in,
sure.
too. I mean, we talk so much about the opioid crisis. Well, what do people get when they're in severe pain? Occasionally, I mean, it used to be a lot more, some kind of opiate, but now they're still getting lots of other medications, even though we have laws in place that you can't prescribe more than 5 days.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I would imagine more and more people are becoming addicted.
Yes, I mean, you know, up until the last maybe couple of years, doctors were prescribing opiates, you know, left and right. And I think, you know, they would prescribe them and then take them away. People are left kind of like, well, I'm in pain. My doctor put me on this. And, you know, then heroin can come into the picture because I guess it's the same opiate, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and it's a lot cheaper to get.
Exactly, exactly. So it is a big problem in the chronic pain community where people were prescribed opiates and then they're getting taken away.
Mm-hmm.
I think doctors do prescribe it kind of recklessly.
They have, certainly in the past, trying to change things now. So what did you learn in your rehab stay?
So I learned a lot. I was scared to death to go there. Didn't think I had an alcohol problem, which is kind of hilarious to think about now. But we had classes during the day that focused on basically, I'll say gratitude, even though we didn't have classes on gratitude, but what doesn't hurt? You know, we focus a lot. We're wired to be negative. We're wired that the negative comes first. Because of the fight and flight response, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's really easy when you're in pain to just focus on that pain. And it's hard to not when you're in such pain. It really is hard to not focus on that pain. But it's the focus that we put so much focus on it, we forget about the other things that maybe don't hurt. So we focused a lot on that. We learned about addiction because, you know, that program, just like with any alcohol drug program, it wasn't necessarily a sobriety-based program, but I found that most of the people that went, you know, didn't go flying in there on the wings of victory, you know, just like myself. So about addiction and about using maybe pain medication sparingly. What else did we learn? We did exercises. We had a physical therapist there that helped us with very gentle exercises that were based on our own pain, and it was really they had us do at the end. I just remembered they had us do like a presentation on something that we're good at, or maybe were good at prior to being, you know, injured or get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of I would say generally it was a lot of focusing on the good that's in our lives versus the pain itself, kind of trying to get our mind off of the pain.
The power of positivity.
Yes.
Right.
Can we take a break?
Sure. We'll take a break.
All
we'll be right back with Lauren Zaleski.
Rapp Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Sharing the Hope. I'm your host, Rocky Schwartz. My co-host is Jennifer Denlinger. We have a wonderful guest today, Lauren. Just a reminder, we also have family support groups. We meet four times a month in Flemington and Somerville. Our Flemington family group meets the first and third Wednesday evening of each month. Our Somerville family group meets the second and fourth Friday evening of each month. And all family members of loved ones struggling with a substance use disorder are welcome to attend. We do have more specifics on our Facebook page if you are interested. And back to Lauren and Jennifer.
So, Lauren, what I was thinking about when you were talking before was how you had become so isolated. And then you went to this program where you were suddenly talking about chronic pain, positivity. You were thrust into a community. And how did that feel after not wanting to hear about other people's stories? It sounds like you were pretty independent in your mind that you were going to get through this alone, however.
Yeah, when I, even though I didn't want to go there, I was in it to win it because I was so desperate. Again, I never wanted to go back to that place that happened on June 20, 2013. So I figured I'm here, I'm going to give it my all. So, but however, like you said, being with people all of a sudden was very, very uncomfortable for me in the beginning. It was a small program. There were only eight people allowed at the time. But still, talking about my pain felt very uncomfortable at first. But then I realized that when I spoke to other people who were like me, even though our conditions were very different, there were some that were injured on the job, some like me who were, you know, sick with a chronic illness. The emotional aspect of what you go through when you live with chronic pain is something that we all shared. And that's something, I was talking to Jenny the other day, that's something that doctors don't tell you about. You know, they tell you, they give you the medications, they tell you what you have. But not, I've never had a single doctor in the past 20 years say, you know, maybe you should talk to other people about this. That's, you know, where attitude of gratitude with chronic pain eventually came in. But to answer your question, yeah, it was very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Towards the end, it was like, you know, wow, I feel kind of free being with people who are like me. And the same with my mm-hmm. alcohol program. It really is very, very similar, the emotional aspects you go through when you live with, you know, addiction or with chronic pain. The emotional aspects, they eventually lead many people like myself alone. And then, you know, I found that being with a community was super helpful in battling what's in my brain.
Right. The theme of community seems to come up every week for
every
us.
Every week, yeah. I think what's interesting is we talk a lot about co-occurring disorders, and typically in terms of mental illness and substance use disorder. But what we're talking about today is having a chronic health condition or chronic pain and substance use disorder, and that they both have to be treated.
Yes.
Right. And that's what you were finding in the treatment center. You were dealing with the physical pain and also the realization that you had an alcohol issue.
Right.
Yeah.
The doctor that headed up the program was actually kind of funny because I was so focused on the chronic pain aspect. He had us write a letter to our pain the first day we were there.
Oh, wow.
And then he's like, you should write one to alcohol too. And I just kind of said, well, I'm only an alcoholic because of the pain. That's really what my mindset was in the beginning.
Well, that's how you made sense of it.
That's how I made sense of it, right? Like I had to drink, because I'm in such pain, but I didn't have to drink the way that I did because I'm in such pain. I really didn't. It was, like the bio said, my alcohol problem was very bad. So once I finally let go of that, I'm only drinking because of the pain, I was able to then, you know, work on my sobriety as well. But again, the emotional aspects of both were very, very similar.
Yeah, I can see that. So how did your way of life change once you began focusing on what does not hurt rather than what does?
Yeah, it was scary going home, you know, in rehab. Mm-hmm. I was in this bubble of other people, and then I've got to go home. And, you know, going home was the scene of the crime. That's where I drank. That's where I isolated and didn't shower and didn't eat. You know, and they tell you to change your people, places, and things.
Right.
But the people was me. My places was my home. Things was alcohol. So I really had to work very, very hard in the beginning to try to change everything. And, again, I had that gift of desperation. Because things started to really look up at rehab. I was eating again. I was getting social again, like we already mentioned. I was starting to find my smile again. By the end, I found my smile again. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen my smile in a really long time. And even though I get emotional about talking about 6 years ago, it's a good emotion. It's all gratitude-based because I know things could have gone very differently for mm-hmm. me that day. But anyway, then going home, I had to, you know, work on my meetings for alcohol, of course. And there was no, we had a 12-step based group at rehab that focused on chronic pain as well. There were no meetings in New Jersey at the time. So eventually I started one at Hunterdon Medical Center about a year after I was in rehab, and it was very popular. The people that came, a lot of them had co-occurring disorders that I knew from my other program. Now we do it online on Zoom, which is like a Skype, mm-hmm. because we get a lot more people. We have a lot of members who really can't leave their homes or their beds. So even though we don't get the hug factor, which we did at Hunterdon mm-hmm. Medical Center, we do get a lot of people. We work on that sense of community, you know, and working on using, you can use the 12 steps for chronic illness the same as you do with addiction as well.
Can you give maybe an example of that? Because not everyone knows what the 12 steps
are. Yeah. I was going to ask the same thing.
It's difficult to wrap your head around when you're in chronic pain about how can you, especially if you know the 12 steps from another program, it's hard to wrap your brain around, especially with made amends people, who do I have to make amends to? You know, the pain was to myself, which is true. However, I think until you get immersed in the 12 steps, we don't realize that our illnesses can make us perhaps not very nice to our family members.
Well, you lost your smile.
I lost my smile. I wasn't very much of a mother to my children for those 4 years. My husband really picked up the pieces. And I was so focused on myself, I think, that even though I had tremendous guilt for missing back-to-school nights, games, and all that stuff, I just kind of looked at it as, well, I'm in pain, and I can't help it. And I couldn't help it. I really couldn't help it. None of us can help it. I think if we chose to not live with pain, we would, even though I am grateful for my pain now, believe it or not, because it's brought me such joy in my life in a lot of other ways. It does make us, like I said, not so nice to people, kind of entitled, the opposite of gratitude.
So it sounds like you made amends not only with your family, but with yourself, which I'm guessing might have been even harder.
It was, and I work on that every day, making amends to myself.
None of this takes place overnight. It's an ongoing process.
Yes, right? It is.
So tell us about your Facebook group, Attitude of Gratitude with Chronic Pain, and tell us how it came to be. How did you decide to do that?
I'm very, very proud of, we call it AOG to be for short. We have almost 5,000 members now.
It's amazing.
It really started. Hi, everybody at AOG. It started basically as a way for me to promote the meetings at the hospital, believe it or not. I was looking for everybody that was a member there, went in the group, and I would be, you know, reminder meeting tomorrow night. But then it grew, and it really kind of evolved. I didn't set out for it to be anything other than a reminder. But what it has evolved into is a group. What I couldn't find, and my bio said this too, what I couldn't find on the internet, there's hundreds of groups for people with chronic pain and illness, and they're wonderful groups. I'm not knocking them. There's such a need for them, for that sense of community. But I was finding that a lot of them, I would go in and kind of get depressed because you're allowed to talk about whatever you want, and again, that's needed, but blood results, doctors that wronged them, and I started to embrace everybody else's problems, including my own. Again, I'm not knocking them. They're very needed, but I was really yearning for a place where I could go and just for a little while get away from all the nitty-gritty because I know what the problem is. I know where my pain is from. And there's not a whole lot I can do about it. But I would like to try to live happy with it. I had to come to that place of acceptance. Doesn't mean I've given up hope for a cure, and I still work hard to kind of minimize my pain, but I wasn't finding a place where I could go and just focus on gratitude, positive thinking. So I eventually made the group as a no-complaining group, which, you know, not everybody's there, and it's not for everybody. But it's 4,000 or 5,000 people at this point. And it's, again, not saying that we shouldn't complain. We actually have a live chat on Wednesdays where we call it Flush the Format. You can talk about whatever you want.
Oh.
But it's a place where people can go to kind of escape the blood results, the negativity, and all that stuff. People trying to outpain each other, which may sound harsh, but you know, you could talk about your pain and somebody would be like, well, you're lucky you only have A, B, and C. I've got A, B, C, and D. You know, so people were trying to kind of outdo each other. So AOG is not like that. AOG, we just assume that we're all in the same amount of pain and we don't talk about the nitty-gritty of it, but we do talk about gratitude. Every day we have certain posts that we do to try to keep everybody engaged. In the morning, we do a daily intention. We do that rather than a daily goal because people that live with chronic illness, and maybe everybody, we may set out to have goals in the morning, but it doesn't always turn out that way. You know, how I'm feeling now may very much change in 5 minutes.
Right. Actually, we were talking about that in the office today, about how unrealistic we are sometimes when we set out the goals for the day. But then to feel bad about ourselves for not getting it done and combine that with just not feeling good, I could see how that could lead to someplace pretty negative pretty quickly.
I think we get a resentment. I'm sorry, Rocky.
No, what's so beautiful is you're describing some people being living in the problem all the time versus trying to live in the solution or the acceptance, right?
Exactly.
And it's like any other support group. If you go and you just, sorry, but bitch about the problem, nothing changes.
Nothing changes.
And I think it's brilliant what you came up with.
Thank you. I can't even really take much credit. The group kind of evolved that way. I think I did eventually. I mean, we have a lot of rules. We have about 2 pages of rules. So it's a little daunting. And like I said, not everybody's there yet in their journey with chronic pain. People get diagnosed. They're not automatically thinking, hey, I need to join a gratitude group. It seems to be usually people that have had it for a while that are just kind of sick of living in the problem, like you said.
I'm not going to let you get away with kind of putting yourself down in the role in this because, you know, we've mentioned your volunteer work in Bethlehem Township. I saw you at work as PTA president and with the theater group, and you have had a lot of energy, and you have great ideas, and you're organized, and I'm sure all of that comes to play in maintaining this. You're setting an intention every day is no small feat. So,
thank you.
Yeah, sure. So tell us about your gratitude project of 2016 and how that intensified your gratitude practice.
I don't even know how it started either. It was the new year. It was January. I guess I felt like I had had gratitude in my life very much from the group at that point. But I think it was a couple days in a row, January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, I put up some kind of a gratitude meme. And then I'm like, you know what? I should do this every day. And what I then decided was I'm going to do a new one every single day for the entire year. And it was a leap year, which is why the bio says 366 things. And I thought, originally I thought people are going to get annoyed by this. They may unfriend me, but I'm going to do it for myself. My rules were I wasn't going to repeat if I could help it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want the gratitudes to be anything of material value. I wanted them to be something that everybody could possibly relate to. And it was a challenge. It was a real challenge. I think I was naive in going into it. By April, I was like, oh, my God, how am I going to do this for the year? But it's funny when you dig deep what you can come up with. They weren't always big things, but there were some little
were
things.
Were you actually creating memes every day, too, or just posting your gratitude?
At that point, I wasn't creating memes.
Okay.
In the group, I was. But for that, I was kind of taking them other places. But the writing started off very small. By the end of the year, I was writing like manifestos about each day.
That's amazing. But that's what happens with gratitude. I mean, it gets easier and easier to be positive, and it does just multiply in our lives, and it offsets whatever is negative in our lives. I've found that and have suggested that to so many people. So give us a few examples, or at least one example, of the non-material that you were struggling. You do have to dig deeper to think about that. So what kinds of things were you saying in April?
The one I always come up with is clean drinking water. You know, it's something we take for granted mm-hmm. every day that we have clean drinking water mm-hmm. To bathe in, to, you know, take in. That's something that I don't look at every day and say, boy, I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Clean air to breathe, or clean-ish, I guess. You know, the love of my family, great friends. Gosh, there's so many things. Color, right. That I can see color, that I can see, that I have the use of my hands. There's so many different things. Right. And it was at the end of the project in December that people were like, oh, gosh, I'm going to miss it. It got more popular than I expected. Mm-hmm. And that's where the idea for writing a book came up.
Right. So that's what you're on to now.
Right.
I think we need to take one more break.
Okay,
yes,
we're going to do that.
Perfect.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Sharing the Hope. It's Jennifer, Lauren, and I having a wonderful conversation about gratitude. Lauren, can you tell our listeners how to reach you, how to join the group?
Sure. Well, the group is called Attitude of Gratitude with Chronic Pain, which I know is a mouthful, but you can find us on Facebook and send a membership request. But I also have, if you don't want to join the group and just want to learn more about gratitude, I have a page on Facebook, which is an open page, and that's Lauren Zaleski, Gratitude Addict. You can find me on there.
Thank you.
Sure.
And that's where you have a blog.
Yes.
In fact.
Yes.
Okay. So we got a comment about the importance of connection and community. So let's talk about that just a little bit more. If you could talk about the importance of connection and community living with chronic conditions, and again, how things changed for you once you began incorporating them into your life instead of the isolation you'd been experiencing.
Right. I had no interest in being a part of a group talking about it until I went to rehab and found how important it was. And now, you know, with AOG every day, I think if somebody were to take that away today, it would be it's the biggest tool for me in living with my chronic illness. Because, you know, I've tried everything. I've tried every treatment, maybe not everything, but every treatment, every medication. And some of them work, some of them don't, a lot of them don't. But this community of hearts that reach out to each other, that all live with the same emotional debilitation, is quite amazing. There's a TED talk that came out a couple of years ago based on a book that talked about addiction and connection. I forget his name, Johan something, I think. Mm-hmm. He talked about connection, the opposite of addiction is connection, right?
I know who you mean.
And he talked about Rat Park.
Yes. I believe it's the same for people with chronic illnesses. You know, like I mentioned, a lot of us are housebound, bedbound, haven't seen anybody. A lot of us lose our friends because they just don't understand, or maybe we're not very nice to them, or a combination of both. A lot of us are alone. So having this community of people, again, who aren't talking about what they have exactly, but talking about that solution and the gratitude is really just refreshing. It fills our hearts with joy. And a lot of us feel like we have a bit of a purpose again. A lot of us will lose our jobs and who we were before getting sick or injured. I'd mentioned that we have a big engagement in the group. We have several questions throughout the day. We have a gratitude of the day. So we keep everybody very engaged, and it's not me spewing stuff at them. It's everybody taking part in this group. The importance of connection for me is the single most important part of living with my illness, and it was the part that I was scared the most about.
Right. And clearly other people are feeling the same way.
Yeah.
So I've been intrigued about something for a couple of days now. You call yourself a chronic thriver.
Yes.
So tell me, please, why you won't say the word suffer with chronic pain and illness.
Yeah, I say that I don't suffer. I don't take away anybody else's suffering. But I believe that suffering is self-imposed. You know, the pain is very real. It's very real. But how we react to the pain makes it suffering or not suffering, in my opinion.
That's your choice, right? That's
yes.
Where the choice comes in.
That's right. Our response, right? Our response to the pain. So I will say I'm struggling, but suffering, I believe, is for me, and I'm not taking away anybody else's suffering. Again, I'll say, but I won't say that I suffer, because to me, it's really my reaction to the pain. And I don't like saying that I'm a chronic pain sufferer, but I will say struggle. I like thriver better.
Well, again, she's putting the positive twist in it. So that's how it becomes infused within you, I'm sure.
It's a brain trick.
It reminds me of the Buddha saying, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional.
That's right.
Wow, yeah.
And pain times resistance equals suffering. That's something I heard from a Tara Brach talk. Pain times resistance, if you're resisting the pain, equals suffering. It's very powerful.
So many things involving resistance, but if we can lean into our resistance and welcome it, as counterintuitive as that is, I believe that's how we learn about ourselves and then can create something new. So
beautiful.
Yeah, that is beautiful. I'm amazed that we're talking about pain physical pain, because everything that you're talking about is also about living with the pain of addiction.
Everything.
And the shame, the lack of connection, feeling different, not a part of.
Right.
So Rocky and I work with family members, and our message always is self-care, so that we can better care for the responsibilities in our life. And I've talked a lot about gratitude as a means of self-care. And could you add to that discussion a little bit?
Yeah, gratitude is absolutely self-care. You know, we don't always feel grateful. And we can, even though we don't always feel grateful, we encourage everybody to state their gratitude every day. Even though everything we do in the group is optional, there's nobody saying that you have to do it. But there have been many studies that say if you say you're grateful about something, it's like a brain trick. You know, you kind of fake it till you make it.
Right.
Eventually, you will become more grateful. It's like smiling. You know, there's been a study about put a half smile on your face and the serotonin in your body will make you feel a little more happy. We have to play tricks on ourselves because we are in pain. And I should say that I used to be, even though it's called Attitude of Gratitude with Chronic Pain, I've kind of opened up the chronic pain part to be not just physical, but emotional pain. So not everybody in the group anymore has a physical condition. But we found, like Rocky just said, we found that emotional pain, you know, depression, things like that, treating it with this group, it's all very, very similar.
And like you said earlier in the conversation today, you can't quantify pain.
Right.
So let's assume we all are living with a certain foundation of pain.
Yes.
Right?
Or we don't outpain each other. We don't know everybody's situation. And, you know, the pain I'm in today, the physical pain, can be the same that I had yesterday. But depending on how I am emotionally, it could feel like a 6 today and, it, you know, felt like a different number yesterday. Mm-hmm. It really is how we look at it.
Right, and how we check in with ourselves. So you're talking a little bit about ways to find gratitude when it might feel difficult. Have you ever practiced gratitude specifically with a difficult situation, looking for the positive in a situation which maybe even feels torturous? You mentioned that you have such joy, and I think you said you were grateful for your addiction. Have you thought about when you're in a very negative space to look for gratitude in that space?
That's a really good question. I am grateful for my addiction. I am grateful for my pain also, like I said. The days where I'm in a lot of pain, it's extremely difficult to find gratitude. Some days when I'm writing it, you know, a ton of things will pour out of me. And other days I'm just there thinking, like, you know, I thanked my best friend yesterday, and, you know, like, it's just difficult to find it. But I, you know, I go back to 6 years ago today, and all of a sudden gratitude will pop into my head. It's easy for me to do because I can go back to that feeling from 6 years ago today pretty instantly. And I'm grateful for that as well, because even though it was the worst day of my life, it turned out to be the best day of my life because of the beauty that has come from it.
And it's kind of crazy. You're going back in time instantly, but it anchors you in the present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I think I know the answer, but what kind of tool do you use, or how do you stay in touch with that day 6 years ago? Because you keep describing about how grateful you are.
Yeah.
In a very different place.
Yeah, talking to other people, connection, talking to other people with similar problems. How I'm able to get back that feeling, I'm not sure exactly, but it was so awful, and I just never thought I could get out of that dark hole that I was in. I was in such a dark hole that even with the rehab, I just didn't see a way out of it. But again, I'm grateful for the fact that it could have turned out a whole lot differently. The misery of seeing, you know, my parents there, my husband there, looking over me in the hospital bed, not knowing how I got there. It's just really easy to find gratitude and get back to that place when I think about
it. So I think you're actually answering my question exactly, because there you were in that very dark, scary, bewildering place. And then you decided to go to this rehab, and immediately they started helping you look for the positive in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it reminds me of something I hear in the support groups that I go to, that we will not regret the past, but we will not shut the door on it.
Absolutely. And that's why I said I get emotional about it, but I know that emotion is good to keep it green for me. If I start forgetting how bad it was, things are going to start going badly for me again. I know that. I'd never take that for granted, ever.
And I don't hear any regret.
No.
At all.
I don't either.
I do regret, like, you know, how I treated the kids and things like that. But I know I had to go through that process to get where I am today. And my kids are so proud of me. That's
the
best gift you can ever get.
I'm sure they are.
That they are.
So, Lauren, what are some other tips you can offer those who live with chronic pain and illness in order to live fulfilling and loving and joyful lives like you are today?
Well, I would encourage everybody to join some kind of a community. Ours is great, but if it's not for you, you know, find a community. There are so many groups online on Facebook if you can't get out of the house. Facebook groups are just absolutely wonderful to keep everybody connected. I have a couple of tips that I do myself to try to keep me happy, and some of them are silly, but they work for me. I wear glitter because I don't know if you can see it on my face, but I feel like if I look sparkly shiny on the outside, I'll start to feel a little sparkly shiny on the inside.
I'm going to Michael's afterwards. I love that.
I have like a face spray that I paint, and everybody thinks that I got into some fight with a Barbie doll or something, but I'll do that. Finding gratitude, of course, is a biggie, and I know it's perhaps overused nowadays, gratitude this, gratitude that. But, you know, again, fake it till you make it. It really, really works when you're not feeling grateful to express that gratitude. It really helps. Playing your favorite songs, a great happy playlist I have on my iPod. You know, days that you're not feeling great, put on your favorite songs. Happy by Pharrell is a favorite. Brave by Sarah
It's Wallace. So easy when you're not feeling good to put the sad songs on, at least
yes.
For me, and to just kind of go to that place and mope.
But it's so impossible to listen to Pharrell's song
right.
Happy
right.
Without stomping your feet a little bit.
That's right.
That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I think we've all gotten a hint at this, but How would you say your life has changed and improved today from where you were 6 years ago?
It's a drastic change, as kind of we've been talking about. You know, I keep that connection open. I'm very careful to not isolate, because during the rough pain periods, it's still easy to do. I could get back there, and I know it would be super scary if I were to really allow myself to get
back
there.
It's familiar sometimes. Let's just kind of go back to that familiar place.
Yeah, it's totally familiar. Thankfully, leading a group doesn't allow me to be isolated, but it would be very easy to do that. But yeah, it's changed. I have, even outside of the group, I have friends that I now see. And even on the days where I'm not feeling great, I try to force myself to go. You know, sometimes you just can't when you live with some kind of a chronic pain. But I do try to make myself go, because I almost always am glad that I went when I go, even though leading up to it, can be difficult to take a shower. It can just be like, I want to sit home and watch TV and just veg out in my pajamas. And I still do a lot of that, don't get me wrong. But if I'm invited to be social, the social aspect is really, really important. So I do that. I stay in touch with people. You know, in my addiction, I had stopped even answering text messages, emails, things like that. Going back to that connection again is really important. But I found my smile.
And I'm sure people were so happy to welcome you back.
They were. Like I said, they're proud, and I never want to take advantage of that trust that my family has in me. That makes me want to cry too. But, you know, I heard a saying once that it takes a lifetime to get trust, but a moment to get rid of it or to lose it.
To lose it. Yeah, so easy.
Yes.
I'm hearing another theme, other than community, which is what we hear every week, is accountability. Mm. Like when you join a community and you feel a part of, as you just described it, you feel like you need to show up.
Yes.
And accountable to people.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be physically, but showing up on the Facebook page or whatever, because you're committed to this.
Right.
And that's so important.
Yes. And I think not just me, some of the members too. One member puts a gratitude word and definition up every single day. And I know she feels like she's got a little bit of purpose in doing that, and she knows that everybody would miss it if she didn't. I know she's listening right now. Hi. We all have kind of accountability to suit up and show up in some way. It doesn't have to be actually physically going somewhere.
Right.
But it can be, you know, showing up with your heart, giving somebody a nice comment is huge. You know, there are things you can do, service work, so to speak, from your bed.
Mm-hmm. Being helpful and loving from afar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody in the group has huge empathy, and that's so important too. We care as much about helping others and everybody else in the group as we do ourselves. And helping others, we help ourselves.
So we're really getting close to the end of our time, but can you tell us a little bit about the book you have planned?
Sure. Well, it had started, I thought I was going to just put the Gratitude Project entries in, all 366 things, and they were written already. That's how I had started.
Like a little devotional?
Right.
Okay.
I still plan on doing that, but that's now book two.
Wow. Look at her go.
I'm going to.
I see calendars.
Ooh, that's a good idea. We were talking daily planners, right? Doing a daily planner for people with chronic pain. Now I'm going to write about what we talked about today, which is living with gratitude with a chronic condition, whether physical or emotional, because nobody talks about that. Again, like I mentioned earlier, no doctor has ever told me, you know, go to this website, go to this anything in order to deal with it emotionally. I forget the study, but studies do show that almost everybody with a chronic pain condition also has depression. They go together.
That just makes sense, doesn't it?
And that's something that none of the doctors I've ever encountered ever deal with.
So I'd like you one more time to share with us how people can get in touch with you.
Okay, well, you can reach me on Facebook. My open page is Lauren Zaleski Gratitude Addict. And the group, if you'd like to join, again, it's Chronic Physical or emotional conditions, attitude of gratitude with chronic pain.
Lauren, it has been a pleasure and an honor to have you here. You are the rock star of gratitude.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on your date of 6 years today. Ooh. I have goosebumps myself thinking about that. So,
love that smile. I'm so glad you got your smile back.
Me too.
It's a nice smile.
Also, if people need to reach us at Prevention Resources, if there are any family members that are struggling with chronic emotional pain, 908-782-3909. They can look us up on njprevent.com. Also look at the Facebook page, Sharing the Hope, which the show will be on. I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude. I don't know how else to say it, but overwhelmed with gratitude for what you shared with us today. And we will not be here next Thursday because we will be practicing self-care.
Yay.
We work for a wonderful organization, and we have a staff retreat day. So we will not have a guest next week. We will be repeating one of our prior shows.
I think next week we're going to replay our Alateen
Perfect.
Program.
Perfect.
And then the following week is July 4th, and we'll be revisiting our prevention education program.
Excellent. Excellent.
So
thank you, Lauren, so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Heightened tensions between the United States and Iran after Iran shot down a drone on Thursday. President Trump is leaving everyone hanging when asked if the U.S. will go to war with Iran.
You'll find out.
You'll find out.
I mean, obviously, you know, we're not going to be talking too much about it. You're going to find out. They made a very big mistake.
It was a shocking day at the trial of a former Navy SEAL accused of killing an ISIS prisoner overseas. Chief Edward Gallagher has been accused of a premeditated murder while serving in Iraq. However, U.S. Navy SEAL Corey Scott, who served as a medic, rocked the courtroom by testifying that he was the one who killed the prisoner during cross-examination. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in a 7-2 ruling to allow a World War I Peace Cross to remain on public land in Maryland. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents
and Doug. Is that your pet Emu?
He's my partner, Limu. And we're here to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
So is he only an Emu because it rhymes with Limu, as in Liberty Mutual?
Well, I won't.
So this is just a clever way to get people to remember Liberty Mutual, huh?
Kinda.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
An annual report on a global problem has been issued by the feds. And USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details from Washington.
The 2019 Trafficking in Persons report from the U.S. State Department is naming China, Iran.
We can set up an emergency shelter within a matter of hours. Mm-hmm. When you bring your cat, dog, or pet in, they are vet checked, they're fed, they're walked, for as long as need be, as long as the shelter is in place.
Now, immediately when you're describing this to me, there's a whole bunch of questions that I, as a strategy person, start to wonder. The first one is, where you happen to be in an emergency area. So